Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me today. If you've continued to listen, that means you're a highly intelligent individual. If you just tuned in, look what you get to look forward to. Welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Beverly Inman Ebel is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Beverly number two is with us today. We had Beverly number one on in the previous half hour, Beverly Williams. This is Beverly Inman Ebel, Beverly number two, So that Beverly number two doesn't feel like that's a demotion or anything, or that I'm disparaging her, I'll say it this way: this is the Beverly we saved, who's the best for last. How about that, Beverly?
Oh, you made up for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's good.
And Beverly Inman Ebel, ladies and gentlemen, is the author of "Talk Is Not Cheap," among other books, and she's one of our top communications experts and a world traveler, Beverly. You've been all. Where have you been in the last 3 or 4 years?
Oh,
you've been
goodness.
To Poland. You've been to where else?
I've been to Morocco and Libya and Egypt and Belarus and Scotland.
Didn't you go to Turkey also?
Poland. I have not been to Turkey. I've been invited to Turkey, and there was always a conflict. But
I may go to Turkey next year.
Spring.
The International Chamber of Commerce conference is in Turkey next year. I may go there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm planning to go to a meeting next spring in Turkey if life doesn't intervene.
Tell us about your recent trip was to Egypt.
It was to Cairo, and it was the 16th annual World Summit for business women.
Mm-hmm.
And there were women there from 89 countries, and that was pretty awesome. To be around that many different cultures at one time, and it was.
I'm thinking the terrorists didn't mess with you guys.
No, they did not. And this.
I mean, I can see that. You know, them having a meeting over there and saying, you know what? There's 80 women from 89 countries coming in here. Let's get the heck out of town.
That, this is the third time in about less than a year and a half that I've been in a Middle East country, and I just cannot say enough for the kindness and the politeness of the people that I interact with.
Most people
that know, okay, here I am, I'm somebody, I'm speaking at this conference. I mean just people in general that I meet along the way.
Most people who have never traveled to the Middle East, anywhere in the Middle East, would be, they're surprised when they see how passive, how gentle, how friendly the average Muslim is in their country. And how absolutely opposite these people are compared to the stereotype that we think of when we think of, when we see the pictures of these people who blow up planes and who kill innocent people. The reality of the majority of the folks in that region is that they're not only friendly, they're not only nice, but they're actually passive people.
Oh, they are. And I think the word that comes to me is honored. They are truly honored that you have come to their country. And they always, from Americans, they always want to know what you think about their country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
if you use any language of theirs, if you use their language at all, even one term, even just a greeting, if you say anything like that, or if you make any kind of a reference to their religion, then you've crossed, you've gone way more than halfway to making a friend.
Yes, After I came back, I was in Norfolk, Virginia, and I was eating at this little restaurant, a very nice little restaurant, and I could tell that the proprietor was from, I think it was from Iran, and because I heard him talking. And so when he came over to our table to ask if everything was okay, I'm replying yes, and my friend who's with me said, oh, she didn't get something. And he apologized, and I looked at him and smiled, and I said, ah, Miss Mushkawa, which in Arabic means whatever, it doesn't matter. And his eyes lit up.
Oh, yeah.
So I look like I shouldn't know anything in Arabic with red hair and mm-hmm. you know, green eyes. And we just had the best conversation. It was truly wonderful. So you're right. If you learn just a little bit
mm-hmm.
and can remember it.
It's amazing. Communication, folks, is not about knowing how to give a speech or being able to talk for incessantly for hours. Communication could be a simple little mishmish. 22. We'll be right back with our good friend Beverly Inmanibel. She's the best for last. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to check out our blog while you're there as well, and all the other resources that are there for you. Beverly Inmanibel is our guest and our good friend, the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. Beverly, give us your website, please. Is she there? Beverly, are you there?
There, yes. I have a battery that's going out, and I was trying to switch phones.
Did you make it?
Well, no, well, but I'm still here.
Well, go ahead and keep trying if you want. I was asking for your website.
Website is www.talklisten.com.
What do you know? Is your battery going to be okay?
I'm going to switch it right now. Hold
All
on
right,
just
ahead.
A moment.
We'll wait right here, right, folks?
Sunny in 92.3. Today's
okay. There we go.
Wow, here I am.
There you go, Beverly. When you just got back from Egypt to the women's conference, it's what's the most interesting thing to me about these women's conferences. There seems to be a lot of them in Middle Eastern countries where typically people think women's issues are not very high on the totem pole, so to speak.
But they're very high. They're very high. And, you know, I met women from countries where women still have very limited rights. There were communist countries there. There were, and it was wonderful to have conversations. Now, all of these women were not business owners. Some of them were worked for large companies. Such as PricewaterhouseCoopers there in Egypt, and there was a big delegation there from BG Egypt, which is like their power companies, Air Baltic, Johnson & Johnson was there. We had a huge contingency from Microsoft was there.
Well, what did you guys talk about?
We talked about a variety of things, but a lot of the focus actually was on doing business in the Middle East. You know, they need the economy, and I want to tell the small business owners who are listening right now that there is a market in the Middle East, and I know there are some areas that just seem too explosive right now. But you take Egypt, and you know, Egypt is a disadvantaged country right now. I mean, they have an ancient civilization, so you know, I hesitate to call them a third world country.
Mm-hmm.
Yet when you're there, and
they once were first world, weren't they?
They were.
There's
a lesson there. I mean, to walk through the pyramids and to realize, or to go in their museum and realize, you know, what they had at one time, and then to see the recovering state that they're in now is eye-opening. But they are hungry for interaction from the Western world, especially for services. So I've had numerous conversations with some businesses over there about, you know, me coming over and doing training for them. And, you know, that's exciting to know that, you know, sometimes in the politics, you know, there's challenges. But when you meet people to people or business to business, a lot can be done. And so there's a lot that, you know, the American small business owner can do interacting with other, you know, small businesses in these countries, whether it's in the Middle East or anywhere else.
Well, the key to that transaction, the key to that situation, doing business in those that part of the world, is patience.
Yes.
Because for us, for Americans, someone told me the other day, for Americans, we think of the contract as the end of the deal. For them, the contract is the beginning.
Well, they like to establish relationships. I have been invited, you know, I'll meet someone, and they invite me to their home. They want me to come to their home and meet
their
family.
And by the way, that's a big deal in that part of the world.
No, it is.
They don't invite you to their home easily. That's not something they do a lot.
Right. They want to get to know you. They want to meet your family. Let's establish a relationship first. And if we can establish trust and a relationship, then we'll do business together. Now, there's something for us fast-tracked Westerners to learn from that. If we think about the customers that we currently have, we may think we have a relationship with them. But is the relationship simply they purchase from us? Or that we purchase from them? And if we would take the time, I'm not saying to, you know, have your customers over for dinner or invite them to your, you know, child soccer game. I'm saying, you know, we do need to invest our time in getting to know, especially our key customers.
Well, there's no question about that. In fact, that's very good advice, and I certainly don't see anything. I mean, I think you're right. I think we do need to invite them to spend time with them outside of the business world,
yes.
As you say, especially if they're key customers, because those are the kinds of interactions that will span any kind of a hiccup in the relationship, any kind of a distress that might happen between the two companies, or a change in the way our customer does business, or in their situation, the relationship will span all of that, won't it?
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. For instance,
Can you hold on to that thought, Beverly? We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Beverly Inman Ebo is our guest. Here's the Spencer Davis Group to take us out. It's 10 till. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Beverly Inman Ebel, who's recently returned from Egypt at a women's conference over there. Beverly, what did you learn about communicating while you were in Egypt?
Well, I learned that it is slightly more formal. I was a speaker, and you know that my style is one that's very warm and reaching, and so all the other speakers, you know, gave formal presentations standing behind podiums or sitting at tables.
Mm-hmm.
And
you embraced the audience, didn't you?
Oh, I did. I mean, I grabbed the microphone, and it came off the stand, and I just walked in front of both the podium and the table that they had for me, and just, as you said, engaged them.
That's the reason she's like a rock star, ladies and gentlemen, when she goes to these things.
And you know what I remember the most is after it was done, just all of these women from different countries rushing up to the stage with great excitement on their face saying, "Can you teach me to speak like you do?"
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a compliment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think I will remember that as long as I have the ability to remember.
But that desire is not unique to women. I mean, men and women
have a challenge many times with being able to do that.
Oh, they do. And I'm writing a book. I'm on like the sixth chapter right now to, you know, I have, you know, a training course on, you know, getting better at giving presentations and all, and writing the book, because it's a tremendous need, and especially for people who own their own business, to be able to go to, you know, just a small civic function and be able to speak for 20 minutes at lunch and spread the word about what they do. And
it also helps you to communicate your vision more effectively and more genuinely to your own people, your own employees.
Oh, definitely.
That's where I think it hits first. I mean, maybe you'll get to speak to a civic group once a year, but you get to communicate and recommunicate your vision to your employees every day.
Yes.
And I know owners who really have a hard time doing that. And it's because they just aren't comfortable expressing themselves that way. Mm-hmm. And if they could, their employees would start being more like those customers you talked about earlier. Their relationship would be solidified. It would strengthen, wouldn't it?
Certainly it would. I have a new program I started this past February, and it's worked beautifully. You know, it used to, you know, you would think it would take a very long time to build your presentation skills, but we bring people in one at a time, and well, first we survey them, but then we video them giving like 5 minutes of a presentation they've given in the past, and just zero in and really change a couple significant things that they're doing, and then video them again. And when they visibly can see and hear the difference, they get so excited. And that's, I would say, 80% of the battle is feeling confident that you've done something, you've made an improvement, you sound better, and that's a huge part.
How do we get people over the fact that they don't want to do any kind of, and I'm going to use the word public speaking, but it really isn't just public speaking, it's speaking at all. Some people feel that it is a pretty common situation, and so some people, I think, they sort of hide behind the fact that they're not, that a lot of people are like them.
Well, they do, and it's always one of the top 5 years every time they survey people. You know, sometimes it's number one, sometimes it's number four. Some people say death by fire.
It's almost always number one, though.
It almost is.
Yeah, fear of speaking in public.
And what I would, you know, what I encourage people to do is to look for opportunities just to get up in front of people for a moment, just to introduce someone. And sometimes business owners know, you have to take a step outside of your comfort zone. That doesn't mean you have to take that total leap all at once, but take a step. You know, introduce somebody. Ask a question the next time you are somewhere where there's a lot of people. Raise your hand. Everybody will look at you while you ask a question.
But the one thing, Beverly, that I think people ought to think about is only speak about the things that you know about.
Oh, definitely.
If you're an expert and you are in a certain area, speak about those things.
That's right. Many times when I'm speaking, someone will ask me a question and I won't know the answer. And I'll look at them and I'll say, you know, that's a great question. I don't have an answer to that. If you'll give me your business card, I'll mm-hmm. find someone who can answer this question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know, you know, don't fake
it. Just say you don't. Beverly, give us the website again, please.
www.talklisten.com.
Thank you, Beverly, for being here. Good job today. Welcome back to the USA.
Thank you.
Beverly Inman Ebel, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back on the other side of the news with Joan Pryde. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.